Welcome to Stateside. I'm Lester Graham. Later this hour, one of Lansing's longest-serving Capitol reporters is retiring. We'll talk to John Lindstrom of Gongwer News about his nearly half a century as a Michigan journalist. But first, the U.S. House will vote on articles of impeachment next week. Democrats are expected to approve. Most Republicans are expected to vote against them. Republican member of Congress Paul Mitchell of Michigan's 10th Congressional District issued a statement which reads in part, "I believe the founders intended impeachment to be a safety valve to allow removal of a president that acted in such a blatantly immoral and illegal manner as to threaten the base of our republic. After careful examination of the evidence presented throughout this inquiry, I do not believe President Trump's actions constitute high crimes and misdemeanors." Congressman Mitchell joins us now. Welcome back.
Oh, thanks for having me.
Okay,
good to talk to you.
These two articles of impeachment are: one, President Trump abused the powers of the presidency, and two, he tried to cover up misdeeds by obstructing a congressional investigation. What do you think about the first charge, that abuse of the powers of presidency?
Well, I think the question is, did the president's actions, as they're related to this question of the Ukraine, did they constitute a high crime misdemeanor? I don't believe that the phone call that the president made by including the Burisma and Biden there should have happened. I think that that's something that should not have taken place. A reference should not have been made in any way, shape, or form. But it doesn't constitute a high crime misdemeanor as envisioned, in my opinion, by the founders. As I said elsewhere in my statement, if impeachment becomes a weaponized, if it becomes an electoral tool, this will become the norm around here, that a group of people don't like the rhetoric, the policies, the political approach of the president, and they will look to effectively take him out of office, take him or her out of office. We've had two Democrats already say that if this impeachment fails and the president's reelected, they'll try to impeach him again. They don't know why, but they'll come up with a reason. That is so destructive.
Why do you think asking a foreign government to investigate a political opponent to give Mr. Trump advantage in the coming elections does not rise to the level of abusing the powers of the presidency?
Well, the president asked to investigate corruption, then referenced specifically Burisma, which has been referenced as being a corrupt organization before, in the previous administration, in fact, and then included Biden in that. I don't think it's appropriate, but my statement is clear, which is you have to have a high crime misdemeanor, some blatantly immoral and illegal act that threatens our republic. I don't believe suggesting you want information of a foreign entity makes any sense whatsoever. I think it's inappropriate. But if we're going to approach impeachment in this manner, there's a long list of presidents that should have been impeached for a variety of things that we consider to be offensive. We go back to the days of LBJ and the things he said and did. We can go through a whole long list of people that should have been impeached. There's a reason it should be a rare thing, and it should be something that's abundantly clear. Clearly, with President Nixon, it was appropriate. I mean, let's be honest about it. The list of laws he violated would be as long as your arm and mine. There was any question. You will have a number of Democrats which will not vote for these articles of impeachment, which is unusual. If you look at previous impeachments, there were six Democrats in the House that voted in favor of impeaching President Clinton. There will be no Republicans, I believe, that will vote in favor of impeaching President Trump.
Let me ask you about the second charge, obstructing a congressional investigation. The president ordered his top-level staff and others to ignore subpoenas from the House. Why do you think that's not obstructing a congressional investigation?
Well, it's not obstruction. It's not obstruction until such time as they pursue it legally. And they didn't issue subpoenas. They didn't issue subpoenas to key people. I would have liked to have heard Bolton testify. I would have liked to have heard Giuliani testify. It would have been interesting, to be honest with you. They did not issue subpoenas. They did not pursue subpoenas with the court system. That is how it was done with Nixon, and, in fact, done successfully. The president's entitled to declare or to claim executive privilege. The legislature's entitled to challenge that in the court system, not to simply say, well, you didn't do what we asked you to do, therefore you're obstructing justice. The people that determine obstruction of justice is the court system. They could have gone to the Supreme Court with subpoenas and insisted that they would be upheld. It would have taken some time. And I think, frankly, the reason they didn't is because it would have taken some time. They have a schedule for this. They want this done before the holidays. That's been clear since the inception. You realize that there are, for example, Congressman Green, he called for the impeachment of the president shortly after he was inaugurated. I mean, there are a number of folks on the other side of the aisle that have called for the impeachment of the president and simply looked for the crime. That's not the way our system works.
If, as expected, the Senate does not find President Trump's actions rise to the level of removing him from office, what effects might this have on this and future presidencies?
Well, I think what you're going to, it's already been stated, as I said earlier, that there's a number of the Democrats that said if President Trump is reelected, they will look to impeach him again. I had a conversation yesterday with some members of the Turkish parliament who were in my office. They're here for the NATO parliamentary exchange. And their comment to me was, with our allies, with people around the world, they're asking questions about what's this mean? What's this mean for the president's ability to work with them, his stability? We look unstable in a world that's already unstable enough. And again, I think that's why the founders wanted this to be a very rare act of only the most critically important and blatantly wrong things that an executive could do. Britain had a different system previously, which is why we changed ours when we did our constitution, because they had impeachments willy-nilly and it caused all kinds of turmoil there.
Let me ask you one more question. We've only got a couple of seconds
here.
You've been critical, very critical of the president in recent months, particularly of his rhetoric. Do you think he should be president for another term?
Well, my comments about the president go back well before recent months. I shortly, during Charlottesville, I made comments about, no, they're not very fine people on both sides on that. I'm sorry. So it's not recent months. It's when I found it appropriate that I thought the president had said or taken some action I thought was not appropriate. I made media comments. Other occasions I called the White House and I talked to the president. It's the decision on the presidency is up to the American people. They made one that decision in 2016. It should not simply be undone by Congress because they don't like him. As you've indicated, the president said some things that I don't like, that I don't appreciate, that I don't think are the best way to approach it. I spoke out against what happened in Syria recently as well, because I thought it was a wrong way to approach it. But we don't just impeach people because you think their Twitter, their political tactics, their rhetoric offends you. I mean, that's our standard. We're not going to keep a president long.
Well, I'll ask you a personal question. Will you vote for him in 2020?
I will. First, yes, I think I will. The question comes down to, I think the question for American people comes down, I think the president may well win. So this impeachment outcome has been interesting in terms of what's done in polling, where in Michigan the president leads. I just saw a poll, it was Harris poll, I think. I just saw a poll that had the president up at Michigan. Let me see, I did another poll. Michigan up by 5 points over Biden, 6 points over Sanders, and 9 points over Elizabeth Warren in Michigan. In Wisconsin, he's up 9 points over Biden, 13 over Sanders, and 12 over Warren. Think about that. That polling was done December 3rd through 5th. I think this whole process runs the risk of reelecting the president by virtue of the fact the American people are sick and tired of it.
Paul Mitchell is a Republican representing Michigan's 10th congressional district. Congressman, thanks for your time.
Have a good day.
On Monday, we'll hear from Democrat Alyssa Slotkin on her views on impeachment.